You know, coming off of last week, where we saw the Holy Spirit's leading an individual's life through planning and through spontaneous moments. And I want to continue with that story found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. We're going to turn there in a moment, but you can turn there already. Acts chapter 16. And last week we touched on it a bit, but I find it important to see how Paul reacts to different circumstances in his life that he has gotten to by following the Holy Spirit. And sometimes in those moments, we find things hard to understand. You ever find it hard to understand God at times? I think that is all of us here. But I want to do that because there is a picture in this story that the Holy Spirit doesn't only direct paths as an outward force leading the way or a voice from outside, but He is in you. He is in you if you are a Christian. And He is the guide in all things. Can you say all things? All things. Not just direction, but He is with you through it all. Because Paul, in this story we're going to look at again, could have just followed a map where God told him to go. And then he could just try to accomplish what God told him to do. But church, that is not the point. You see, God is going to accomplish what He wants because He is sovereign, which means He's in charge of everything and He can do whatever He wants. But get this, He wants to accomplish things through you by accomplishing things in you. I'm going to let you ponder on that for a moment. He wants to accomplish things through you by accomplishing things in you. See, God is not only working around you or even through you, but He is working in you. Not just a direction for direction's sake, but leading you to a circumstance that will bring out of you who He created you to be. And what I mean by that is God used Paul's circumstance and the way he reacted to it to reach people. And how we react to circumstances, no matter how we wound up there, is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And through that working, into the lives of other people. Last week we spoke on the paths we take as we choose to be led by the Holy Spirit. And this week we're looking at the paths we make as we choose to let the Holy Spirit make us like Jesus. And we get the idea from 1 John 2:6, where it says, "He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked." It's our choice to walk that way. Philippians 2:5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It's your choice. 1 Peter 2:20 and 21, when talking of slaves, says, "For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Church, in all circumstances, live like Christ. There's not a lot of amening out there. This morning, we're looking at an opportunity Paul had to live like Jesus. And what the result of that was. And I'll tell you this, remember this, the outcome is worth the process. The outcome is worth the process. Many of us here know how to work hard. We are Alaskan. We know how to work hard. We know what hard work is. Filling the freezer before winter so your family can eat. Making sure you have enough wood or whatever you heat with so you don't grow cold. Or putting a year's worth of work outside into 2 months because you just got to get it done. We know how to prepare. We know how to shape things and to do what we have to do. But watch this. So does the Holy Spirit. And he is preparing us for what is to come. He is intentionally preparing you. And he is shaping his home in you according to how he wants it, especially when a hard season hits. So get this, he's not just slapping a coat of paint on the outside. He is stoking the fires within and cleaning out the rooms so they're all inhabitable. You know, in my personal house, I've got to do a little work on the heating system before this winter. And I've got to get my septic pumped because it will cost me more if I wait till later. The Holy Spirit wants to prepare us for what he plans to do. And get this, that plan is not just surviving. The plan is not just surviving. Church, at my house, we sometimes have feasts or parties. In my house, we have life groups. We have friends and family in my house. We have fun at my house. But get this, my wife would tell me, our house has to be clean and ready. Not perfect, but welcoming. Before we have people over. She is amening at the front. A house has to be ready, and it's not perfect, but it has to be welcoming. It has to be welcoming. We don't just prepare to survive, but we prepare to celebrate what God has done and is doing, both in our natural homes and inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Church, let's invite the Holy Spirit to work in us today, in this home. Can we do that? Say, "Holy Spirit, I invite you in to work into my life, into my house, into my family and my church. God, we invite you in, and we ask right now that you would open our eyes and our ears to behold wonderful things from your word and your law this morning, God. And we thank you that when we welcome you and prepare a place, you always come. We thank you and ask this in the name of Jesus." Let's jump over to Acts, our main passage this morning, Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read a short passage there. That's Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 34. It says this, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, and he took them at that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Can you say amen? Church, I want to give you a little context here, especially if you weren't here last week. Paul has been on a missionary journey where he is following the lead of the Holy Spirit, and in that following, he's had to listen very well to get to where he is right now. And that's one of the major things in a Christian's life. You have to listen well when God speaks. But in Paul's following of the Holy Spirit, get this, following the Holy Spirit, he is now in prison. He is now in prison. And not only that, he has been beaten. He's been beaten so badly, one of the three times in his life that he has been beaten to this degree. And it's at this stage that I want to look at the path Paul decided to make for his life, or rather the Holy Spirit make into his life, where Paul decides who he is in the midst of that trial. I want to look first at Paul's path. Paul's path. This is the most important path in our story because it leads to the others that we will look at in a moment. Just like your life will lead to others following Christ. Paul could look back on everything that led him to this moment while sitting there in a prison cell. And we do that sometimes. Do you ever get to somewhere and wonder, how did I get here? How did I get here? Paul's feet are in stocks, which were made to not just keep the prisoners locked up, but they were also a torturing device. Does it ever feel in life that you're being tortured a little bit? Paul is sitting there, and his feet are in stocks, and he couldn't move. And I want to give you a picture of this. The stocks are kind of not movable. There's other people in this, and they've got his legs wrapped up down here to where he could only either kneel while his feet are there, he could stand up crouched because it's probably not very tall, or he could lay on his back with his knees up. He is stuck there with the chains rusting around him. That's the picture of what is happening. It was not a happy place, and it smelt bad. It was surrounded by people that we would probably call bad people. And remember that he had been beaten. So he's laying, bleeding in a filthy prison. And I don't know about you, but I wanted to paint that picture because I don't know if it could have gotten much worse. If that was you, you are laying there just a bloody mess on the ground of a filthy prison surrounded by people who don't like you probably. You are at the bottom to some degree. And sometimes life does feel like that. And yet you see Paul here, get this, still listening to the Holy Spirit. Did you paint that picture in your mind? All the things that had happened, and he's now in this prison. Life can't get much worse, and he's still listening for the Holy Spirit. Church, do you listen? No matter what is going on, do you listen? This was the Holy Spirit that, right before this, had cast out a demon, probably the ruling demonic force in that area. And yet now Paul is in prison. Church, life doesn't always make sense. Do you agree? Couldn't the God who saves and heals and delivers do that again right now? The answer is yes. He can. He could. He will. He would. But I don't think Paul would have changed anything that led him there at that moment if he could. He probably would have changed his circumstance, but until this moment, he knew he was following the Holy Spirit's lead. He knew it. So I don't think if he looked back, he would have changed anything because Paul fully trusted in God, even when the situation intensified and did not make sense. And I love the progression that it paints here. We see in this specific story, you see, what started off as a direction led him to a victory and then to further progress. And now it's leading to extreme difficulty. And that doesn't always make sense to us unless, watch this, you put it into the light the perspective of progressing through trust in God and how the kingdom advances. So both Paul's trust is growing and the kingdom of God is growing at this moment. It often starts off smaller with a trust me to go here or there, like go to Macedonia in our story. And then it moves to trust me to say this or say that, like sharing the gospel. And then a do this or do that, cast out that ruling demonic force. All the while your trust is growing and seeing greater victories and progressing of the kingdom of God. But we forget the kingdom isn't just around us, it is inside of us. It has to not only advance around us, but inside of us. It has to grow in us. And then you have that moment where all of the sudden it seems like you're taken to prison or you're beaten and dragged down there and everything in life seemed to have gone wrong. And what we don't realize is that your trust building up to this moment is now about to walk through a period where it will be strengthened even further while in adversity. And the victory you'll end up seeing will be greater even because it has more potential for influence out of the difficulty that you are walking through. The greater the pit, the greater the pull up. Your testimony is seen in you. You've heard that before. Lots of preachers say it. You can't have a testimony without a test. The kingdom of God will be advanced because it moves forward through battle. So when you're in a battle, know that God is wanting to advance some things, not just around your life, but in your life. So don't sit back. Press into it. And what seemed like the worst part of this story was the key to everything happening. And the victory that opened up the gate for the rest of the city to hear about Jesus. As God worked through Paul in both victory and in hardship, it led to a literal shaking of that city, spiritually and physically with an earthquake. And I think Paul knew all of this was happening to some degree, that he must continue to walk in the same victory that saw people saved and delivered. Because watch this, the victory didn't change, its location did. The victory doesn't change in your life, its location does. The same victory that walked with you through all those good things now walks with you through that prison. The same Holy Spirit that was with you through all those good things is now with you in the hardest parts of your life. You still live in victory. And that's why at midnight, when Paul's body is exhausted and wounded, when he should be sleeping and getting rest that he needed to heal, he is praying and he is singing. Watch this. His spirit is more alive than his flesh. His spirit is more alive than his flesh. And church, that is my goal. That is our goal. A lot of people might use this to say something like, praise broke his bonds. And to a degree, that's probably true. But what is happening is that Paul's heart was so full of the Holy Spirit that when his trust was tested, he continued to pray. And in the face of adversity, he sang songs that would declare who God is and state Paul's place in the Lord. Paul was going to pray and sing no matter if the chains broke or not. No matter if the chains broke or not. Paul made up his mind that his spiritual place in the kingdom of God outweighed his physical place in the kingdom of men. Did you hear that? His spiritual place, your spiritual place in the kingdom of God outweighs your physical place in the kingdom of men. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, Paul was teaching everyone around him who he was in Christ and who God was in every situation. The songs we sing don't only glorify God, they teach others. And that word admonish used there means to correct, because Paul was correcting some viewpoints of who God is. That's why singing is so important to the believer. It combines the word of God and melodies not just to remember, but that move you. God created you like that. It's not an unholy thing. Those melodies and truths together help you to remember when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're struggling, or when life is just going great. Martin Luther said, a church sings its theology. Sometimes you need to sing it in your situation. And that's one reason we try to find songs here that address many points of Scripture and characteristics of who God is and all these things. Because those songs need to get into your heart, into your mind. Church, much of what my daughter knows, who's 5 years old theologically, is what we sing. Why? Because she sees me singing that. And then she sings with me in that. And it gets in her heart. And I am giving her the tools and the theology needed for later in her life by teaching her to sing the truths of the Word of God. It's not just a person who likes singing or someone who used to be a worship leader. I think Paul is calling all Christians, whether you're a good singer or not, to sing. To sing. So your child one day knows the Bible, that's the book for me. And I'll stand upon the word of God, the Bible. You don't have to be a great singer to sing that. Most of the kids in Children's Church are not great singers, but they will just sing it out. I want to encourage you to do that. Church, people that know me well know the first place I go when I'm struggling is into worship, because I have to get my heart right before the Lord. And this, I think, is where Paul is. He's singing songs that don't make sense. I want you to paint that picture again. Think about it, of the prison that he's in. His feet are stuck. It's smelly. It's dirty. There's people around him that probably don't like him. He's been beaten. And then maybe he remembers something like Psalm 84 and just sings out, I'll sing because I'm happy. In prison, I'll sing because I am free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. In prison. Can you sing in every circumstance? Paul wasn't afraid to be who God led him to be, and to be that in front of other people. And I want you to see this. When Paul's chains fell off and his prison door flung open, and he sees the jailer about to be removed from the picture so Paul would be completely free to leave, a miracle would happen. What does Paul do? where some might rejoice because of their own circumstances being released. What does Paul do? Paul's heart goes out to the man about to take his life and choose for eternity where he would be. And Paul chooses, get this, to stay in prison so that he can have a chance to reach one man. And in verse 28, he calls out, it says with a loud voice, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." And Paul was grateful for the miracle, but he was even more grateful for the salvation he was about to share. Church, don't let the blessings in your life get in the way of having a heart for the lost and the broken. Paul didn't just see a direction to go or a victory in the supernatural or a jail that he had been in. He saw a person that the Holy Spirit was highlighting in that moment, and he was listening enough to catch it. Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Church, who is God highlighting in your life that he has sent you to speak to? Paul looked out and with love saw an army veteran struggling with failure about to take his own life. And that's who I want to look at next, the jailer's path. We're running out of time, so do you mind if I speak really quick? All right, let's do this. The jailer's path. Now, this jailer was most likely a retired soldier. He knew how to protect, how to enforce, how to fight and follow orders. And from his perspective, he had just lost everything. And whether you're a veteran or not, we can feel that way, that sometimes that there is no hope and that you have lost it all. Because this man had been ordered, he had been charged to keep Paul. And Paul, to him, was the man who just angered and enraged the most powerful people in his community. The government officials, he got mad. The spiritual authorities were mad. And most likely, all of the financial institutes were affected by that one lady who had been possessed by a demon that now had been cast out. And so the financial institute that was now gone. People would have come to their community to receive a fortune-telling from this demonically possessed woman who was now set free. But because of that, all these people are mad. And that's why he puts Paul into the deepest part of that prison, into where the poorest of people and the most heinous criminals were. Paul had quickly become the most important prisoner in that entire jail. And when the jailer thinks everyone has escaped, this is really bad because his life would be at stake for theirs. That's how it worked. So all those prisoners were gone. Now you've got to pay the price. His life was forfeit for theirs. So when Paul calls out, hope immediately enters him. And why does he run? Because he runs in to see if he will be living after the end of that day. If he will be alive. He had heard the prayers. He had heard the singing. He probably knew some of what had happened and why they were in prison. And now he falls down on his knees trembling and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Because you see, church, the way you walk through hardship, the way you come out on the other side, what you do in the midst of it, God will use to rescue other people. They see the way you talk, the way you walk while you're going through things. They see how you live in those moments and afterwards. How you live it out affects all the people around you. And they might just ask, "What must I do to be saved?" We have to realize that through all these hard things, the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak. He's wanting us to be ready. And the jailer was so grateful that Paul didn't pass him by or decided that he deserved what he was about to get. Sometimes we go by a person and we think they're getting what they deserve. Not one of us here today, Pastor Nick said it earlier, we don't deserve salvation. It is freely given to us. We cannot hold it back from any one person. That's the message of the gospel, that you didn't deserve it. So when someone that suddenly realizes that they were about to die or headed that direction, they have a chance to be saved, a lot of those people are going to want it. But you have to live like Paul did, that it actually means something in your life. You have to walk it out. You see, in verse 31, the jailer is told, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Your household is a word that means everyone in your house. That's even the workers that were living in the jailer's house. That's his children, his immediate family. And this is not a guarantee, although it might have been a prophetic moment working through Paul, but rather it is a principle of headship. As the head of the house, a family will follow. So especially men, but I know there's single moms out there today too, we must lead well. We must wholeheartedly jump in to following Jesus. It says that very night, the whole household was baptized. And they were probably baptized in the same fountain of water that they had just cleaned Paul's wounds from. They jumped in immediately. So church, immediately jump in and lead your house. Even if it keeps you up all night. Even if you have to invite some people over and share a meal as they talk about Jesus so your life goes deeper. Even if you have to help them in some way or it costs you a little something. You have so much more in return by knowing Christ. And that would be your family knowing as well. Sing it out. Teach it. Admonish. So others, including your family, will do the same. There is hope to be found in Christ, and you must lead the way. It says after this, the jailer rejoiced, having believed in God with his household. I think the greatest joy outside of my own salvation would be that of my children following after Christ. That is my greatest and most petitioned prayer. I pray that every single night. I give my children to the Lord. I claim the blood of Jesus over them because they are too precious to me not to give to him. And if I don't show them how to live, how will they know? They need to see us rejoice because of what God has done and is doing, especially in a hard season. Not just your children, but your friends and those around you need to see that you still have the ability to hope, to find everything you need in the Lord. The jailer saw that in Paul and wanted the same thing. And he wasn't the only one that saw it. The prisoners, the politicians, the newly formed church would all be watching what would happen. And I want to look at that group really quick before we leave. The path of those watching. The path of those watching. There was a second miracle that happened here. An entire jail full of prisoners did not try to leave. I don't know if you know anything about prisoners, but it's nice to be set free. If you don't know anything about prisoners, think about a toddler. If there is an open door, they are taking it. That is innate within inside of us. Freedom is attractive. But what we saw and heard, the prisoners saw and heard, was more attractive than freedom. It was two crazy Christians having been beaten and thrown in prison, now shackled in the deepest part of that prison, are praying and singing. And if that wasn't unusual enough, the God who delivers and saves and heals, the God who created everything and has control over the earth itself, the God they have been proclaiming through their prayers and through their songs, has now shaken the prison up. and has set everyone free. And as their lives are being shaken up, get this, they're in too much awe of what has just taken place to walk out of a freed prison cell. The people shackled up in this life see that you don't handle things like they do because you're supposed to act like you are already free. You're free of that burden and that weight and that worry and that fear. So when the door is open to freedom, they are so shocked by how you have lived your life that they want that freedom too. They will see the freedom in you is greater than the freedom that this world offers. Do you live like that? It doesn't say that they even tried to leave. It doesn't say that there was a riot. It reads like the jailer came in and closed the doors. The prisoners had to be more enamored with what was happening on a spiritual level. Maybe even frightened by the power of God on display, like the jailer who trembled at this. And they all did not know what to do. But then they heard this phrase, "What must I do to be saved?" Church, so many people are just waiting to follow you to Christ. If you will publicly make that statement, or ask that question, or give that answer, or sing that song. And now the prison has a Christian warden to share and disciple those of the in the deepest place and pit of the entire city. Sometimes God just goes for the gold. He put a Christian now in charge of the prison. Church, maybe your job is just waiting on someone who will be outspoken about Christ. We don't know exactly what happened after that, but we do know that God planned for a jailer and his house to be saved, and a prison to hear the gospel, because one man was willing to pray and to sing through the hardship that he went through. Church, don't count out the small things you do or even the great hardship that you walk through. The prisoners are watching. The prisoners are watching. And they're not the only ones. When the governing officials found out all of this, they had to come and take Paul and Silas out and walk them out of town. Something that would have been a scene to see in that city. It would have been talked about. So what the enemy planned to imprison turned out to be on display for the entire region to see and talk about. Things had to be shaken up in Philippi. That's the city where they're at. And they would never be the same. Don't worry about when your life is shaken up, because it can have a greater purpose if you let it. And what had happened spiritually was reinforced physically with an earthquake. And the newly formed church sees all of this. And some of them are probably like, "What have I gotten myself into?" Maybe some others are excited about what God is doing. But maybe some of us are here today thinking that this pastor is telling me that the Holy Spirit might lead me to prison. And church, he might. He might lead you into some hard things, but what this pastor is actually telling you is that God is leading you to a breakthrough. It might just not look like you thought it would. It had a greater purpose than Paul had imagined. And what God breaks through in you, he will use to break through in the lives around you. The lives around you. He has to do it in you first. And when you have that mindset that the Holy Spirit inside of you can do what he wants to do, that you can and you will trust in God because he has a greater plan for you. That you pray it out and you sing it out and then you lead your family in it. The wonderful works and character of God. Knowing that God doesn't just lead me to prison without leading me in the power and authority to walk through that prison with the ability to rejoice in who he is. To pray with expectation, knowing that it's not every time that an earthquake blows open the doors, but it's every time that God has a purpose and a plan, and I will rejoice in the salvation that I have received, and I will rejoice in the salvation that others will receive on my behalf because of the way I will live in the Holy Spirit. And then the church is encouraged. By you, by your family, by the way you live, and people grow. Prisons are changed. Churches are established because of God working in you. Not just through you, but in you. We read that Paul and Silas left town, but Luke and Timothy, it reads like they were able to stay and further plant that church. And I say that because Paul didn't know, but God already had a plan for all of that. He has a plan whether you know it or not. Will you say yes to the Holy Spirit? Have your way. I will trust and I will sing it out until you deliver. I trust you at all times. If you'll stand across this place, so worship and prayer teams come. You might be like Paul today. Maybe you are a Christian and you need to be able to pray and sing through some things in your life. Maybe this is a hard season or maybe it's not, but you don't understand fully what is going on and God wants you to know that he does and that he is with you through it all. And you can be used by the Holy Spirit in a hard season, sometimes even more than in a good season. But we have to let go of focusing on ourselves and on our problems so much. We have to focus and give those to God, and he will take care of the rest. And I encourage you this morning, release that. Come forward and pray with someone or just with the Lord and release all of that today. Pray it out, sing it out. Or maybe like the jailer, you want and need to lead your family better. You want your whole family to know the Lord. Or maybe you're at the end of your hope. Maybe you even thought you were going to take your life and the Lord is saying right now, do not harm yourself. I am here with you. I have not left. Or like all the others watching, it's time for the church to believe and to be strengthened that God is the God of miracles in the good times or in hard seasons. But whatever happens, the church, the kingdom of God, will advance. And we will say, yes, in my life, advance through me. Do it in me so that you can do it in those around me. Advance the kingdom of God right here. I am open. I am willing. I am wanting. So come all to the waters and drink. Be satisfied with the Holy Spirit in your life. Make your path the Lord's path. If you need prayer for anything this morning, come right now. We love to pray with you. If you need to just worship the Lord and give all that you have, now is the time. Let's go back into worship and give everything we have. Amen. Amen. Let's go.